This is JLPT Bootcamp, the ultimate guide to passing the JLPT in less time with less pain. Hello, everyone. This is the JLPT Bootcamp podcast, episode 62, and I'm your host, Mac. Just getting back in from my holidays in the States. Had to stay there a day, one extra day, because my flight got canceled, actually, coming back. So, which was really interesting. It was really interesting to take 2 weeks off from basically everything, studying, working, and everything else. But now just starting to recover from jet lag and getting caught up on the backlog of emails. I'm sorry to everyone that it's there's been some delays getting back to everyone's comments and emails. It seems like everyone's very interested to get the year started and sending me a lot of questions and good stuff. So thanks for that, and sorry for the delays, but keep it coming. Again, you can always email me at mac@jlptbootcamp.com, or you can go to jlptbootcamp.com and click on the Contact Me button, and then just let me know your thoughts and your feelings, your questions. I always like to hear those. So, yeah, it's good. It's good to be back and getting back into the routine. It was good to take 2 weeks off and kind of unwind, and now I'm kind of refreshed and remotivated to start teaching and to really start blogging and podcasting again, and really producing a good website. So look forward to some new stuff that's coming down the pike, and I'm hopefully going to roll out some new things. For example, this podcast is a little bit of a different episode. It's kind of going to be a bit of a hybrid. The first part, just going to go over a little bit of cultural tips and things, cultural notes, I should say. And at the end of the podcast, probably the last 10, 15 minutes, hopefully, or more, will be a short N5 vocabulary lesson. It's going to be my first time, so even if you're not studying for the N5, I'd like to hear your comments on how it's put together, how well it's done, and let me know your thoughts and your feelings about it. So, so let's get into it. I guess going back to the States, one thing that I get kind of reminded of is the sharp contrasts between Japanese culture and, I guess, Western culture. I guess you could call it American culture, but it's mostly a Western culture, Europe or America or even Australia or New Zealand all kind of shares the same culture. And you can always see these sharp contrasts between the two different worlds, so to speak. The food, the people, and even the housing where people live. And is really different. At least for me, I was going back to Iowa, which is where most of my family lives. And, Iowa is very different from Japan, obviously. Very flat place with no mountains, no hills. As a matter of fact, it's so windy there that, they have, enough wind turbines now to, generate their own electricity. They don't rely on anybody else for electricity there in Iowa, which is really crazy. Compared to Japan, which never gets below freezing and never gets really too windy, so to speak. One big thing that always kind of strikes me is that I didn't even think about before I came here is the food. I always thought, well, food is food, and you go into a grocery store, and you're going to, maybe at the restaurants or whatnot, in a different country, they serve the same kind of food, but or they serve different food, I should say. But if you go into a supermarket, a supermarket's, you know, got everything. You're used to a supermarket having, you know, taco sauce and taco shells and things like that. But when you move to Japan, you realize not all supermarkets are the same. You have to kind of change some things around. You have to change your diet around. You have to eat some things that are a little bit different than what you were used to before. And one sharp contrast that I always notice when I go back to the States is that you cannot get anything not sweet, I should say. Every drink in the States, it has some kind of sweetener in it. Even if it's a diet thing, even tea has some kind of sweetener or sugar, or it might not have calories, but has something that makes it sweet. And that's always, it's now, to me, living in Japan for a while, it's kind of annoying. If you don't know about Japan, Japan has, you know, when you go into the convenience store, there's literally one section that's tea. Usually it's two or three different kinds of green tea, and then usually some oolong tea, which is, it's made from the same plant, but I believe oolong tea is roasted longer. So it's rather roasted, whereas green tea, the leaves are just dried, so it's a little bit of a richer taste for oolong tea. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's a tea section in the convenience store, and pops and sodas, there aren't that many. There's usually Coke and Pepsi, whatever Coke and Pepsi are calling their diet drinks. Sometimes it's Coke One or Coke Next Coke or whatever, one of those is in there, and you don't get too many other things. Maybe you get like a type of cider drink, some kind of like a what you would see in the States as a Sierra Mist or a 7-Up or a Sprite. You might see something like that, but realistically, you hardly see any sugary drinks at all. You see a lot of coffee as well, and the coffee usually has some kind of milk or sweetener in it, but that's it. You're really limited with sweets. And you'll find too that if you talk to a lot of people in Japan, they don't like sugary sweets that are very common for people in the States, like for example Starburst or Skittles, or my personal favorite, Sour Patch Kids. Those I love those things, but they don't have anything really sweet here in Japan. They're more oriented towards chocolates, eating chocolate. They love chocolate. They have all sorts of kind of premium chocolates and not so premium chocolates, and really bitter chocolate and really sweet chocolate. So it's really interesting to see just those kind of small differences where what we really like in the Western world is something really sweet sometimes, or at least in the States we do. But in Japan, it's more chocolate. And they also have a little bit of a strawberry-flavored thing going on here too. Sometimes they have strawberry-flavored cakes or ice cream or whatnot. But it's really interesting to see those differences. Especially when I go back to the States, I crave some kind of tea, and I have to end up just drinking a lot of coffee because there's not really anything that's not sweet in the States. So really interesting. But I'd like to know about your experiences with culture. What is a contrast that you've noticed between Japanese and Western culture that you've noticed in your studies, kind of a mindset or a food preference or some kind of ideals that are different between Japanese and Western culture? I'd like to know. Let me know in the comments for this episode. This is episode 62. This is kind of a new series of hybrid podcast. So let me know what you think of this podcast, if I should do more of the same, or if this is just incredibly boring to you. In like I said before, since this is a hybrid podcast, the last part of this podcast, basically from now on, will be a vocabulary lesson for N5, where I'll go over a couple of vocabulary words for N5. So if you're studying for the N5, please, by all means, keep listening. And even if you're not studying for the N5, I'd appreciate your feedback on the lesson, and let me know what you think of it. This is an experiment, so let me know if this is something you'd like to hear more of, or you'd rather take a pass on. So anyway, leave me a comment for episode 62 and let me know about this hybrid podcast. And without further ado, let's start the vocabulary N5 lesson. Hello, everyone, to the very first JLPT N5 vocabulary lesson with your host, Mac. This is the first lesson for from JLPTbootcamp.com. So bear with me. Going to do a little bit of experimenting here. For this lesson, I'll go over 13 words from the N5 word list and guide you through some mnemonics for each of those. The example sentence and the actual word is going to be spoken by a native speaker, unless I'm talking about the word. But you'll have a native speaker to practice with, to practice the pronunciation and to get your intonation down. There'll also be some space on the recording for you to repeat after the native speaker says the word. So hopefully you'll be able to get some pronunciation practice in here as well. At the end, there will be a short quiz to check your understanding to make sure you got everything and make sure everything's locked in. All right. With that, let's begin. First, I'm going to talk about two very important words, man and woman. So first, man.
男.
And repeat. And then woman.
女.
And then repeat. All right, good. So first, for man, how I remember the difference between these two is otoko. If you can imagine a guy driving a Corolla, Toyota Corolla, and he parked in the wrong area, no parking zone, and now they're towing away his Corolla, and he comes out of the fast food place, I guess, and says, "Oh, don't tow the Corolla." So, oh, don't tow the Corolla, otoko. I know that sounds a little bit corny, but helps me remember. For ona, I always think of this as the woman sits on a pillow. Ona pillow. The woman sits on a pillow. So just imagine a woman sitting on a pillow, and that should help you remember the pronunciation. Let's take a short look at the example sentence here.
その人は男ですか?女ですか?
Can you guess the meaning of that sentence? It means, is the man a he or a she? Sono means the, hito means person, the wa particle is the topic marking particle. And otoko, of course, means man. We just learned that. And des is, of course, the copula. And ka is the question marking particle that makes it a question. And then the same for ona, of course, is woman again. And des is the copula. And ka is the question marking particle. So if you can kind of use those together as a pair to mean he or a she, for a question. So, short little grammar lesson there. And if you want to talk about a boy or a girl, all you need to do is add noko to both of those words. So, for example, for boy,
男の子,
and repeat, for girl,
女の子,
and repeat. So, those are two common words. Now, let's talk about some people. Some people that you probably know. Relationships in the family in Japanese are very specific. There are different words for older and younger siblings. So, for example, today we're going to go over older sister and older brother. So, older sister.
お姉さん.
And repeat. Older brother.
お兄さん.
And repeat. These are both polite, so you can translate them as your older sister or your older brother. And one way of remembering the difference between these two is remembering that ne is used more often by women. So o-ne-san is you know, has ne in it, so that helps me remember because ne is more often used by women than it is by men. And you can also imagine your older brother kneeing you a lot with his knee. So, you know, older brothers tend to beat up on their siblings. So you can think of it in that way. Just try to imagine your older brother, if you have one, or if you don't have one, imagine you have an older brother kneeing you. I'm sure that can be very easy to remember. Let's look at some example sentences. So, for example, for your older sister, we have
お姉さんは可愛いね.
Can you guess what that means? It means your sister is cute. So let's practice that one more time. I'll play the native speaker and then repeat after the native speaker.
お姉さんは可愛いね.
Okay, good. Good. All right, let's move on to how about your older brother? Let's look at an example sentence for your older brother.
お兄さんは太っている.
Can you take a whack at what that means? That's right. It means your older brother is fat. So let's practice that one time. I'll play the native speaker and repeat after the native speaker.
お兄さんは太っている.
All right. You got all that? Sounds great. Good. Okay. Let's move on to the your younger siblings. Specifically, your younger sister and younger brother. So for younger sister, we have
妹.
And repeat. For younger brother, we have
弟.
And repeat. One way I use to remember the difference is your little sister always gets emotional while your little brother has two toes, one long one and one short one. And that's because when you say younger brother, that first toe is longer. So it's o-to-to. There's a longer vowel sound in there. And these are the kinds of things that you're going to get tested on in the JLPT. Whether there's a longer vowel sound or not. It's the same for younger sister. It's not imoto, but imoto. There's a little bit longer of a vowel sound in there, so make sure that you know the difference and you can pick that out. Let's go over some example sentences. How about for my little sister? Let's look at the first example sentence.
妹はイチゴを食べた。
Do you know what that means? Yeah, that's right. It means my little sister ate a strawberry. And let's look at my little brother. An example sentence for that.
弟はビールを飲んだ。
Do you know what that means? It means my little brother drank a beer. That little brother's in trouble now. Let's quickly practice those two example sentences. I'll play the native speaker and just repeat right after that. So this is the first one for my little sister ate a strawberry.
妹はいちごを食べた。
Good, good pronunciation. And here's for my little brother.
弟はビールを飲んだ。
All right, great. Sounds good, sounds good. Let's move on to meet. This is a very common verb. So meet, to meet in Japanese is?
会う。会います。会った。会いましょう。
And repeat. All right, good. Sounds good. And this is a very simple vocab word. Nothing tricky here. The only thing to get hung up on is there's another word that uses the kanji radical for mouth and has the same pronunciation, this ao sound. And that word that has a kanji, the kanji has a mouth in it, that one means match, whereas this one means meet, like two people meeting. And the, so the one that uses the kanji radical that looks like a katakana mu is the one I'm talking about that means to meet. So again, this is something that would go, they would test you on the test. What kind of kanji is that you use for this particular word. All right, let's take a look at the example sentence.
どこで会いましょうか?
So do you know what that means? It means, where do you want to meet? So doko means where. De is a particle to mark the place of an action. And aimasho is the polite volitional form, which basically means let's meet at this place. Let's meet is what Masho basically translates as. All right, let's just quickly move on to two more words here. First one is to eat, which in Japanese is...
食べる、食べます、食べた、食べましょう。
And repeat... All right, and let's take a quick look at the example sentence.
私はピザを食べた。
Can you translate that? I ate pizza, that's right. All right, great. Let's practice that example sentence one time. I'll play the native speaker, and please repeat right after it.
私はピザを食べた。
All right, great. And one mnemonic that helps me remember taberu is that Todd rang the bell to eat. So Todd for taberu, and ta rang the bell to eat. You could also think of Taco Beru. It's pretty close. So, you know, if you're in the States, Taco Bell is a taco chain, fast food chain there in the States. And so if you're familiar with Taco Bell, maybe that can help you remember taberu. And if you want to talk about food, you just have to add the a mono at the end, which basically means thing in Japanese. So you can do that. And for food, we have
食べ物
in Japanese. One last one. Of course, we can't have eating without drinking. Drinking, to drink in Japanese is...
飲む、飲みます、飲んだ、飲みましょう。
And repeat. Great, all right. So the tricky thing here is that nomu ends in mu, so we need to change it to n when we use the past tense. Also, something that's a little funky about this is nomu is used for taking medicine. Even if that's tablets or any kind of medicine, you would drink it, actually. You wouldn't take the medicine. So just be careful of that with usage. And let's take a look at the example sentence.
ビールを飲みましょう。
Do you know what that means in English? That's right. Let's drink beer, which is a very useful sentence. Let's practice that one more time. I'll play the native speaker. Please repeat.
ビールを飲みましょう。
All right, cool, cool, great. Great work. All right, so a mnemonic here that helps me remember this is to think of some college guys out drinking on the farm, and the cows start causing a racket while they're out there. And so they're yelling at the cows, and they say, no mooing while I'm drinking. No mooing while I'm drinking. So no moo. Again, kind of a corny mnemonic, but hopefully it'll help you remember it. And it's kind of the same deal with drink. You can add the mono at the end. So nomi mono means drink in Japanese. So let's listen to the native speaker real quick.
Nomimono.
And repeat. All right, cool. That's it for this lesson. Now it's time for a short little quiz. Do you remember everything? How about what is older sister?
お姉さん.
All right, cool, great. Good job. And what is younger brother?
弟.
That's right. Good. And how do you say, where do you want to meet in Japanese?
どこで会いましょうか?
Perfect. Good. And how about one last question? How do you say, my little sister ate a strawberry in Japanese?
妹はいちごを食べた。
Okay, and that is it for the first ever episode of JLPT N5 Vocabulary. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope I didn't bore you too much. I'd enjoy some feedback on this podcast. Was it too slow? Was it too much? Was it too little? Was it too boring? Was it too exciting? Whatnot. Please let me know. This is... you can send me a comment, either stop on by jlptbootcamp.com and click on the contact me button and send me an email that way in reference to the JLPT N5 lesson, or you can email me mac@jlptbootcamp.com, and I hope to hear from you soon. Thanks for listening, and until next time, happy studying. To claim your free 21-page ebook on the 5 biggest mistakes people make on the JLPT, as well as more tips and tricks to help you pass the Japanese language proficiency test, come visit me at jlptbootcamp.com.